Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's edition of the Richard Urban Show. We bring you news and views from the unification principal point of view. We're very happy to have Tricia Jackson on today. Join us again. We were also interviewing her during the primaries. And our lovely co-host Stacy is here. So that's really good. So we're talking about this topic of family breakdown and how that's the driver for all societal issues, all other issues. So if that's okay with you, Tricia, I'd like to share a few slides and then we'll take it from there.
Sure.
Premise. To break the generational cycle of outside of wedlock birth, we need a revolution of absence-centered education. Parents should present the expectation of sexual abstinence before marriage to their children, regardless of whether or not they abstain themselves. They should think about what is best for their children's future and speak honestly about their own situation. School and community-based programs, such as Urban Life Training, can back up parents in making this revolution. In one generation, this can break the cycle of outside of wedlock births and all of the related personal and societal consequences. So here we see that 47% of children in West Virginia are born outside of marriage. So we see the statistics starting in 1950, so around the early 70s, about 5% to 10%. But then now it's almost 50%, or around 50%. So teaching sexual abstinence before marriage is integrally related to creating a safe and healthy environment for our children. So these are statistics taken from the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System, which does periodic surveillance polling of high school students. So in ninth grade, this is nationwide, but it's similar in each state. So in ninth grade, about 2 in 10 students have had sexual intercourse. But in 12th grade, about 6 in 10 students have had sexual intercourse. And additionally, more than 1 in 10 students in high school have experienced sexual dating violence. So the question is, what kind of sexual health and relationship education are students getting in high school? Clearly, that's very concerning as a parent, or even if you're not a parent, just as anyone, that's a concerning thing. So this is a mission of Urban Life Training. That's the nonprofit station I founded. It's to raise youth leaders to develop good character and to model and teach about the benefits of sexual abstinence in preparation for marriage and successful family formation. We provide directive abstinence-centered health education through our community network of trained parents and community leaders. Urban Life Training chapters carry out the Urban Life Training mission in their local areas. And I want to share from this speech. This is a family rooted in absolute sexual ethics, which is the model for God's absoluteness, peace, and ideal in the global kingdom. This is by Reverend Sum Myung Moon. Respective leaders from around the world, what do you think is God's ultimate purpose for creating human beings? It is to experience joy through relating with ideal families filled with true love. What does an ideal family look like? When God first created human beings, he made Adam representing all men and Eve representing all women, with the intention that they become owners of true love. Then what was the quickest way for them to cultivate a character of true love? Simply put, it was to secure a parent-child relationship with God, whereby they could live in attendance of God as their father and form a model family embodying God's ideal of peace. They would have followed the path of living as one family with God, experiencing joy eternally. God created Adam and Eve and installed them as the first ancestors of humankind to form the model family and establish the ideal of peace. He committed himself completely to raising them as his son and daughter, who were to be encapsulations of the entire cosmos, mediators between the spiritual and physical worlds, and lords of creation, and who would be joined with him through true love, true life, and true lineage. Ladies and gentlemen, it was necessary for Adam and Eve to establish a model ideal family of peace. God, the absolute being, created human beings as his children in order to instill in them absolute values on the basis of an absolute standard. Thus, human beings must follow the way of that absolute standard in keeping with the demands of the heavenly path. This means we must follow our destined life course in order to attend God, the Absolute Being, as our parent. In other words, for people to perfect themselves in resemblance of God, and obtain the stature of people of character, who can be called sons and daughters of the Absolute Being, they must follow the path based on the absolute standard God has determined. The essence of this path is the standard of absolute sexual purity. The first stage is maintaining absolute sexual purity prior to getting married. After we are born, we go through a process of growth. We pass through infancy and childhood in a very safe and secure environment, embracing our parents' love and protection. We then enter the time of adolescence, which signals the start of a new and dynamic life as we forge relationships on a totally new level with those around us, as well as with all things in creation. This is the moment when we begin to travel the path to becoming an absolute human being, internally through the perfection of our character, and externally by reaching adulthood. Yet at this time, there's an absolute requirement that people must fulfill no matter who they are. This is a requirement of maintaining their purity, which is the model of absolute sexual morality for human beings. God gave it to his children as their destined responsibility and duty to be carried out in order to fulfill the ideal of creation. This heavenly path is thus the way toward perfecting the model of absoluteness in conjugal love. So that's the essence of that speech. So let's continue. So this is a striking statistic that we do include in our program. So to avoid poverty, we call this a success formula. Graduate from high school, get a full-time job, wait until 21 and married before having children. If you follow all these rules, there's a 2% chance you live in poverty. If you do not follow any of them, there's a 74% chance. So that is quite striking. So I see a two-tiered solution to this issue of family breakdown. First of all, teach sexual abstinence before marriage and fidelity within marriage to our children. Secondly, create a movement of marriage as God's center. UnionStation.love is a matching site where singles who practice sexual abstinence before marriage or who have returned to sexual abstinence before marriage can find a marriage partner. UnionStation.love is a product of Urban Life Training. So that is up and running now, and we have like a marriage blessing preparation course for singles. Also, it's really good for married couples too, to refresh and renew their commitment. Yeah, so that's a good thing. But that's some of the things I think is a lot of food for thought there. And I was wondering about your reaction. Also, just like, feel free if you have anything you want to share. I mean, of course, verbally, or if you have anything else too, we'd love to hear your response and thoughts.
Yeah, so some of your statistics were very interesting. And 47% of children are born outside the marriage. And I think you said it's higher in West Virginia.
That's West Virginia. The other next slide was a national, but it's a pretty much holds for each right. State. Yeah.
So there's a couple things. You're battling we are battling in teaching the abstinence and saving yourself for marriage, is that we've got the whole sexualization going on in public schools and in our in public in general,
yes.
Where kids are taught, a lot of kids are taught to base ideas, and everything's about how you feel and how things make you feel, not necessarily logic or doing the right thing. So I think one of the biggest challenges that I see is the sexualization from a young age. Is a huge battle, and how do we correct that? I mean, touched on it, is the breakdown of the family unit. I mean, it largely comes back to parents teaching or being the strong foundation for their children, and how to understand what love is, and that love isn't necessarily sexual. We know sex was a gift by God to marriage and to honor marriage. I think a lot of the statistics that we see, some of that not remaining abstinent and engaging in sex might be children searching for what they think is love through sexual activity. And then, of course, we know the biological parts of that where, you know, most women are, you know, love, sex does typically equate to love, and you become emotionally attached when those things happen. Mm-hmm. So we're battling societal norms, if you will, in trying to rein in associating love and what love truly is, and not just a moment or a feeling or so. It's a battle worth taking up that's what we're facing is
I do have some thoughts on that. Typically, that's something, of course, that comes up a lot. But parents tradition, we've worked with about 3,000 youth. I've been out here 8 years. Before that, I was living in D.C. I don't know if you know anything about D.C., but we're working with a lot of youth who are East River, in the inner city, and really had a good experience. And, I think at minimally, youth deserve this as an option. It wasn't so uncommon. You know, probably 75% of the youth didn't live with both parents in D.C., maybe even more. So what, you might have got a reaction like, and I did, oh, Mr. Urban, hey, oh, you're supposed to wait to have sex till you're married. Hey, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. Like, because say that young person's parents are married, in the community, most people, if not almost all, are not married, and, depending where you live. And so we're giving an option, and that will appeal to a lot of youth. Ideally, this would be they would only get absence or what I call as a character-centered education. But at least we need to give them the option, or I think we're really selling them short. And parents, sometimes they don't talk about this expectation with their children, even though presumably I think, I know you're in the education field too. Presumably great majority of parents want this, but they don't always explicitly tell them.
Right.
So I think it has to become a standard from the parents. Schools should back it up. I don't see how else you're going to make generational change. Because if you continue that habit, if you weren't married and then your children will continue that habit. But I find that even sometimes, I've been to some weddings of some of the alumni of our program. And I've also met some, and one young lady recognized me. I was out in the community. Oh, Mr. Urban. And she has a 5-year-old daughter. She's not married. Hey, I wish I would have listened to what you said, but I thought I knew what I was doing, but now I realize, that's not the best thing for me and my daughter. So I just think we have to get it out there and present that expectation. It's really selling our children short. Just to, say, you're going to have sex anyway. Here's some cons. Which, by the way, I do not agree with that approach.
Right.
Because, you should have a clear expectation. So those are some thoughts I have. I think we could provide this for all the youth. And I'm looking to form chapters of our organization here and elsewhere.
Yes.
Then I think it'll be a tremendous boost. At least that much. But anyway, go carry on with your thoughts and comments, please.
Well, I'm just thinking also the breakdown in the family, obviously, economically, where now you've got kids, they may have been born into marriage, but now they're from a single parent household, or they started out being in a single parent household, and the burden of providing for those kids and teaching those kids and trying to combat the things that are out there that they're hearing or seeing, in just general every day is a huge challenge.
Yeah. So some other people, I was talking to Joe Early, you may know he ran for Congress on another show. I didn't put it out yet, but I will be putting him out over the next several weeks. And he was saying he was big on having similar standards on the internet that we have physically. If you're a minor, you can't go in the store and say buy pornography. But on the internet, you can, or you have to buy it probably. So what's going on about that,
Well, yeah, I mean, even, if I were to go on a site that sold alcohol, and it says, "Are you 21?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, I'm 21." You know, there's no way to verify or validate that type of thing. So yeah, we've got the children exposed to a lot of things that are infiltrating their minds, so we got to figure out the best way to protect them and to push this type of stuff.
Yeah, I'm thinking that one of the first things is just to start, you know, having it as an expected standard. I've often thought that even in clubs or different activities, it can be an expected standard, you know, and it's, by the way, a program that we have. Yes, I did share the scriptures because I very much believe in talking about God in the public square. But we know that we're not going to give scriptures in the school. We know that, you know, we don't. But the point being, our program is secular, but there's lots of good reasons to abstain anyway. And if you just look at like that success formula, I mean, how can we not direct our children in the right direction when it's so much helping them to succeed? Sure, some may not listen, but minimally, like I said, we have to provide that option for them clearly.
Yes, absolutely. And so it is largely on what you have mentioned, is educating them to know there are other options, or to break a cycle, or to break the, you know, a thought process that might have been instilled with them or that they've only known, you know.
Yeah. And also, you know, the related topics, like we said, of the sexualization society, another, maybe I should put that in there. Another statistic is that in the recent youth risk behavior surveillance system, that one slide I shared about, you know, ninth and 12th graders having sex in high school, well, high schoolers, is that over 30% of girls in high school are now saying on their survey, they're asking them, you know, are you male, female, or several other categories? I don't know if they should be asking that, but anyway, they're asking that. And over 30% are saying they're not male or female, but something else, especially girls, maybe 10 or 15% of the boys. That's crazy.
That's a whole confusion that they put out amongst our youth, is that you can pick and choose, you know, what your gender is. We were born male or female. That's how you were created, back to the Adam and Eve. So that whole line of acceptance and the confusion, and then acceptance of that confusion, is really damaging.
It is. And it, you know, and adults pushing that, you know, is, that's definitely a wrong thing. So, So, I mean, if you want, I can, I have some action steps too, but yeah, I just feel that, I've been in the field for a while, and I feel that we can really make this difference. Do you want me to share my action steps? I can. Okay.
Absolutely.
So, action steps. So, become a member of Urban Life Training. So, we have a lot of absence and character centered materials on our website. We have all the things we use in the school, and we have training, two different trainings that we've recorded where you can learn to give the presentations. So you can access that by being a member. And it also supports our work. Gain access to all of our materials. Secondly, form a chapter of Urban Life Training in your local area. And teach the Urban Life Training program STAR, that's Students Teaching Absence Responsibility Leadership Club, in your local middle or high school. So yeah, it's a decentralized idea, you know. People can start that as individuals, or it could also be an organization or church or other organizations. Become a member of Union Station Love. Well, especially, you know, if you're single, you can do that. Also, married couples can benefit from taking the course we have there. So that way you can find your eternal match. You can also assist your adult child in finding their eternal match. I believe that parents, you know, if their child is 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever, even older, if they're, as long as, you know, the child wants to collaborate with you, which is quite likely if that's the kind of things you've been promoting in your home, you can, you know, collaborate with your child on helping them find a marriage partner. To me, that's one of the most important things you can help your adult child with, you know, and receive marriage strength education, elevate your marriage, eternal blessed marriage, And the fourth thing is create a public awareness campaign by getting your local board of education to adopt the Resolution for Character and Apps Education. We did not read that, but we have one. I do want to do that when I recruit some more neighbors to do it. Recruit parents and neighbors to support this effort. So that's kind of getting your board of education to get on that track. But yeah, so those are some of the steps I suggest. Like, you know, I can stop sharing this. But yeah, so what do you think? Like, would you be willing to collaborate or know people who might like to collaborate to form a chapter?
Yes, in my spare time. yes, I would, and I'm just joking about that. I would be interested in that. I was just going to ask you, have you talked to any of our Board of Education members?
The only one I'm really chatting with more is Donna Joy. Okay, she, I think she's, you know, I chat with her about these ideas. And I've also run, I did send that resolution to all of them, but I didn't hear anything back except from Donna Joy. I'm trying to think of the new lady. I haven't chatted with her much. I got like one email from her. Nothing from the other three. The new lady being Carmen Taylor Braddon. The other three, no. You know. But
just for in, Ricky Twyford is a brand new board member that just got sworn in.
That's right.
You should reach out to her.
I haven't reached out to her regarding this. I think, yeah, as far as the chapter, so like I would say, you know, as far as forming the chapter idea, I don't want to say it's different. Obviously, it's the same idea. That the resolution is more like to promote it, like awareness, and also hopefully to get your school board on the right track. But the actual on the ground rubber meets the road is when you talk to the principal of a school, and you have a chapter, and then they say, oh, you know, hey, Richard or Trisha or whoever, this looks good. We'd like to do this. So the board's not going to decide that. I mean, if they decided to accept it, it would be a boost. But still, they're not going to, you know, actually do the on-the-ground work, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. So also, do you have stuff that's catered to anything that's catered to, and I know that I'm going to, the younger generation, like the latter part of elementary school. Because, you know, now, like, sixth grade is in middle school. It used to be elementary.
Yeah, we have stuff starting in sixth grade.
Yeah.
So you're saying, like, fourth and fifth?
I guess what I'm asking is they're starting to teach our kids the you can pick whatever you want to be at, like.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, interestingly, I've been volunteering in a kindergarten class. I had met one of the teachers at a board meeting. She was giving some presentation. She says, why don't you volunteer? I said, what would I do with the kindergarten? She said, oh, you're coming out. So we've kind of, actually, I've been chatting with her, and she's a very, you know, very nice teacher. And anyway, the point is, we do have, I have taken a training called, it's called EQ. It's an emotional intelligence, not the social emotional stuff that people are railing about, but it talks about the importance of having emotional intelligence. And this starts, and this is a curriculum for kindergarten through eighth grade. So we can bring that in. And I think that's a good way to start.
Well, and I think it's the emotional thing. It's teaching kids at a young age actually what love is. Like, you know, and not and trying to build that foundation to actually recognize what love means and what love is. Instead of necessarily going down, not necessarily going down the path of sex, you know.
Yeah. So,
but the youth, the younger ones, I think, is just making them have a strong foundation and understanding, educating them on what love truly is.
I think, yeah, this curriculum, you will probably like it. I can, you know, share it with you. That could be a corollary. I did take the training, and I did use some lessons like, with some sixth graders. We used to, like, in D.C., the sixth grade used to be in elementary. They switched it out. But, yeah, I did work a little with sixth graders. In fact, when I was in did some things in sixth grade, the fifth grade teachers actually had me coming in giving our presentations, which usually do a little older, like sixth or seventh. But you're right. I mean, there is a need. And we do have some things about like resisting peer pressure and learning assertive techniques that is geared. We have those from middle school and high school, but also we have a version that is made by and is geared toward, I guess, basically like, I would say, yeah, fifth, sixth grade, stuff like that, maybe fourth. So well, we do have some things.
Yeah, and a lot of the emotional stuff is their learned behaviors, even in the home, of things that they witness or experience or they
yes.
do or whatever. So I think the best way to combat that, at least for like I said, the younger children, is helping them actually understand what love means.
And yeah. So you know what? I'd like to
glamorize. Yeah. You know, there's different ways of love.
Yeah. So I could share with you, like, if, yeah. Anyway, sometimes soon, you know, you could have a look at that. I like that curricula, and it's, you know, I think it could be done. So again, like, I don't think this would be the thing you would like. I know sometimes some boards or maybe states legislate certain kinds of education, but mostly, you know, I think it'll be. I like our model. I mean, we've been doing it. I mean, we need to get people doing it, but meaning we have people come in as providers. Of course, the principal agrees first, obviously. That's essential. And then they come in as providers, and the principal generally asks you to work with one main teacher, and it might branch out to several others. And doing it, you know. I mean, in West Virginia, I looked at what we have in the state code, and it says they should be teaching abstinence. That's about all it says. So, I mean, what does that mean? They could come in and have a plastic condom, and then they say, okay, kids, you should abstain. Now I'll have the condom. Them say, I mean, so we need things like what I'm talking about, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I guess where I was going with that is, you know, I'm involved with the homeschool co-op. And we teach specials. So we teach the music and life skills and all that stuff. So, but it is kindergarten through sixth grade. And so it's trying to figure out, and we do talk, we do Bible study, and we preach about the Bible and what love is, you know, from God and all that stuff. But that's what I was just trying to make the correlation of how that.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say the
a younger.
Yeah, the emotional intelligence you could pick up. It has literally the lessons for, it's the same topics, but it has a K through 3 and a 5 through 8 version.
Right.
So that's a really good curricula for any of the K through 6. And then also I would say we have a specific version of the slides we use in middle school for 6th grade. It's similar, but it's a little shorter. And then we have a 5th, 6th, and could be 4th version of the refusal skills videos.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that could go. And I agree with you. It's really good. I mean, I was even mentioning this teacher I've been working with who's happens to be a kindergarten teacher. But she also volunteers with 4-H and stuff. So she, you know, works with other youth. But anyway, the point being I was making and chatting with her about is, wouldn't it be really good if we had something right on through? Like, they're trying. I just had my last guest on. You know, if you heard the last podcast I posted before I started this series, which I'll be posting, about the whole Montgomery County, Maryland transgender thing, where they're forcing them to use these readers as young as preschool that are explicitly about transgender topics and non-age appropriate topics. So, of course, a lot of parents are in uproar about that. So the corollary being, we should be presenting positive things like what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in situations like that, again, the breakdown of the family, single-parent households, or you need dual-income households to survive, right, and to provide, is that you have you don't have many choices or options for, like, education for your kids, like sending them to public schools. And I'm not taking a knock on public schools, but this is where they are getting exposed to some of this stuff. We've gone from reading, writing, and arithmetic to, you know,
yeah. So with the
socialization, and that's the exposure. And then you've got these parents that feel helpless because, oh, I can't homeschool my kid, or I can't afford to send my kid to a private school. So, and now you've got the parents that are, you know, not always there. They're absent.
Yeah. So do you think the Hope Scholarship will help a lot? Or some?
It may. I think here in Jefferson County, we lack options. So you have the Eastern Panhandle Preparatory Academy. I thought I heard there was a private school that was started out in maybe in Shenandoah Junction. I don't know, but I don't know how well that's doing. But that's the overarching goal with me getting involved with the co-op, was to eventually go to a private school model based in biblical foundations and truth.
I've heard, like, aren't there some small, like, maybe church-related schools, but they would, but they're open to anyone that could qualify for the Hope Scholarship? Or not?
So I don't know. I do know there is, I think, Grace Baptist Church that's out in Carneysville.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. You have to be a member of the church for your kids to go there.
So that, but for, if it was qualifying for Hope Scholarship, wouldn't it have to be open to everybody? Or, I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. I mean, I run the co-op. I've only got a brother and sister in there that take advantage of the Hope Scholarship that I'm aware of. The others do not. And because the others do not, they don't want to submit expense reports and track what their kids are doing and what they're learning.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I know that, you know, I guess you know more about this, but I know that, you know, if you're homeschooling, you don't specifically get any funds. But if you buy a curriculum, I think that would qualify. And yeah, if so you hire a teacher.
Yeah. So the students that come, the mom will ask, you know, if there's something specific we require them to have, because we keep our tuition at bare minimum, just basically to keep the lights on for those facility. And if there's something or extra materials or project related things that we're requiring them to have, she can use the Hope Scholarship to get those things as part of homeschooling. But it's just not free for all unless if they're participating in a co-op or whatever is registered, or a private school is registered with the state as a provider.
So that doesn't include what you're doing?
No.
Okay. No worries. I mean, I know of it, but I'm not.
Well, one of the reasons we do what we do, and we started this coming out of the COVID, you know, the lockdowns, and when a lot of people started shifting their kids to homeschool. And one of my inspirations for starting this was my granddaughter was an only child at the time. And I just thought, I mean, she's home all the time with her mom. So this would give her a little bit of an opportunity, as well as other kids, to get out of the home. And we, like I said, we do the specials. So it's music, art, Bible, West Virginia history, and we do a life skills class.
Okay.
In here, which has mostly been manners, hygiene, safety, that type of stuff.
I see. So, yeah, this could fit in nicely there. But go ahead.
Yeah. So I didn't register because I just, being in the government or having been in the government, I didn't want the government coming in and saying what we had to do or not do.
I hear you. That's a big concern.
So we didn't register as a provider, and we do keep the tuition low. All of our tuition goes back to operating costs, just for keeping the lights on and a little bit of rent.
Okay, that's beautiful. All right. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I'd love to collaborate with you on, you know, getting this out, having some, you know, basically a lot of the materials we have, like even we do some live trainings, but you can just go on our website, and once you register, it's fairly nominal, like $49 a year, or for a chapter, $100 a year, and then you access all the materials. And then, of course, you can use it in as much as you want. And, I'd love to see this on the ground wherever, you know, in homes, schools, churches. I just think it's necessary to provide. I'm not saying we're the only organization. Obviously, there are other organizations to teach chaplaincy and materials, but there's not a prolific profusion of them. And like when you are in the society, like you're saying, we don't hear a lot of talk about the cause of all these things. it's more like, oh, this happened, or you're in the city, you know, these youth are running rampant, or here, you know, we have opioids and all kinds of serious crisis. But why are people into that? Generally, most kids from a stable home with two parents aren't going to get into that, statistically, you know.
Right. Well, so, and I think kids get into things like that. You know, idle time is the devil's workshop. And there's not a lot of things for kids, the youth, to do around here.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Options are limited. So
one nice thing about, you know, the urban life training, a big part of it is having like clubs and peer counselors. So the peer counselors go and talk to the other youth about like why they're staying absent, and then do activities specifically like resisting peer pressure and learning assertive techniques. And that's fun for them. And it's also a reinforcing activity.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that that plays a big factor into to some of this, too, is just not enough activities or not enough things for kids to do to keep their interests away from.
Yeah. I mean, why couldn't why couldn't that even be an activity? I mean, we had peer counselors. We had youth forums at Howard University, which you may not. Well, of course, you've heard of it. It's a historically black college. We had a forum there. You know, we had forums at the YMCA in Northwest D.C.
Yeah.
We had Jonetta Rose Barr. She was a columnist for Washington Times and an author and stuff, hosting that. We had some of the D.C. council members coming and, you know, speaking. And the point is, then the youth would come and we'd give them like props or points, or and also we would give them community service hours because most schools require that. So if they're going to come out for 2 or 3 hours and give their testimony, whatever, then they get community service. So that, you know, why not make that a prevalent thing? That's one thing, you know, about having the like absence center clubs or what we call star leadership clubs.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, look forward to, you know, talking to you more about that. You can actually, I can show, let me share one more thing.
Okay.
Also on our website. So if you go, let me share that. Okay, here's our website, Urban Life Training. So if you go here, we have a lot of materials. Here's where you join Urban Life Training. You see some of our different articles, a lot of videos and stuff you can watch here. And then here is Urban Life Training chapters. And then here, there are two kinds of chapters, local and campus. Presumably, we would be working to form mostly local chapters. Although, like, if some, you know, some people at Shepherd and they want to form a campus chapter, we do have a charter they can fill out to form a campus chapter. These are some Howard students here. And, yeah, so then you could apply. You can apply as an individual. Two or more people can form the chapter, at least two. And then, or as an organization. Yeah, and you can run with it. So, or we can run with it. It's not you or me. I mean, both. Whoever wants to get involved, I just feel it'll be so helpful. And, you know, I know because I've been there, you know. Let's see. I think that's Neve in the picture. But anyway, talking to a lot of youth, and I know what a positive effect it has. You know? But, yeah, that's what I wanted to share about that. But, yeah, if there are any concluding thoughts, or Stacey, you want to share anything? Any thoughts on your mind that you have to share, you can do like that.
Well, you know, take a look at the curriculum and what's there and see if you can do something, you know.
I'll do that.
We can, you know, get together and so on. And yeah, I think that pretty well covers it. But I've been passionate about it for a while. I've been actually teaching in school since 1997, incorporated in 2003, so I'm still, you know, very much feel that this is crucial. I honestly just don't see any other way unless we have this kind of education. If more and more people are born outside of marriage and then that becomes more and more prevalent, then things are going to get worse, not better.
Yeah, and I can share personally. I mean, I have my daughter when I was 16 years old. And the first thing about, I didn't know the dangers or the consequences associated with that. It just, I liked a boy, and it just, you know, happened. And I would say, for lack of education. And back then, parents didn't want to talk about it, because if they didn't talk about it, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah,
and that
right.
was the mentality, right? Until it happened. And then it was like, how did that happen? And so, I mean, I can speak personally to that. Is that's exactly, you know, I was young and
I hear you.
Inexperienced, and unfortunately, didn't know what I was doing. I will say I was blessed with a beautiful daughter.
Yes, amen.
But nonetheless, I didn't know what I was doing, and but it, you know, everything just happened, and I will say it was, I just didn't know. So
yeah.
The lack of education, and the head in the sand doesn't work, and fortunately, after I had her, I mean, my family supported me through the whole pregnancy, and I had her, so that was, and like I said, I was blessed. But yeah, just the lack of education and not knowing, and you know, kind of being led, and it just happened. So yeah,
I've even some of our volunteers, like I was talking to a young lady from Trinity College, and she kind of got on the platform of this. She was like thinking, you know, hey, if I just use the condom, I won't get pregnant. Guess what? She used a condom. Boom, she got pregnant. And then she was really on the platform, and she said, oh, my gosh. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and I mean, birth control is not always 100%. And then
right.
At some point, I don't know, I watched a documentary. It wasn't long ago. I'm trying to remember what it was called, but it was around Planned Parenthood. And so how the condoms were faulty. Like, they handed them out at schools and in clinics and everything, but they were faulty. So
yeah, or just like there's like, presumably, I mean, it varies with the disease, but depending, you know, anywhere from, you know, 20 to 50% failure rate for different diseases, or, and even 20% or 25% for pregnancy over time, maybe if you just had sex once, but, you know, it's going to fail.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. I thank you for being, you know, transparent. I mean, yeah, I think that's what parents need to do with their children. You know, there might have to be some moments, or will be, surely, some moments of transparency, you know. So, but hey, is what it is, you know.
It is. But, yeah, so I just wanted to share that little tidbit. I mean, but again, that was the lack of education, and just kind of like, if we ignore it, it won't happen, such thing. And I don't think it's something that can be ignored. We have to teach children the dangers, but again, that emotional intelligence from a young age as to what truly is love, and that it's not just associated with, and that is reserved, sexuality or the sex is reserved for the marriage as a gift to marriage.
Right. And yeah, and even that in itself is so important. Like, the thing is, when I keep thinking of one young lady, you know, that I was mentioning, you know, but, yeah, I mean, like, you know, she was like, what, at that time, maybe 10th grade. Yeah, she hadn't really thought about it. It just wasn't on her radar, you know. It just wasn't the thing in her family, wasn't the thing in her community. So, you know, that's very helpful, you know,
yeah,
to hear about it. Well, thank you for the time. I really appreciate this. We'll get this out. I've got a few shows stacked up. I'm going to be releasing them probably about one each week. So, okay. Yeah. I really, really appreciate it. I think this is just so important, and really is a really crucial core issue. Of course, I know there's a lot of important issues going on, but to me, this is a very, very core issue.
It is. And like we said, we've got a lot of uphill battles, but I think we need to continue to fight on, because I do think, you know, our children are worth it. So.
Absolutely. They are. Okay. Well, God bless you. Okay. I look forward to collaborating with you, as we said, and let's you know, help our children and youth to succeed. That's what it's really about.
Yes. Yep.
Amen.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Trisha. Okay, well,
bye.
See you soon. Okay, bye bye now. Thank you.